Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. By Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to Harry's.com. Get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code HamNation when you check out. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HamNation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 203 for July 1st, 2015. The Field Day Wrap-Up. Hey, good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Central. You know what that means. That means it is Ham Nation time. And, of course, this is the post-Field Day Wrap-Up. But wait a minute. I'm getting a bulletin here. Bob Heil, something. Bob Heil, what in the world are you doing, Mr. Heil? What is going on with you? What are you doing? What in the world are you doing?
I'm making an antenna right here. Making an antenna.
You have lost your mind. You can't transmit on that.
You need bigger wire. Yeah.
You can?
Listen. I'll tell you what happened. Listen to this.
Wrong connection.
Last night, I ran across this guy. Check this out.
This is K9EID. Let's see if I can hear you.
Roger. Well, you're 20 over on me up here in Michigan. The call is November 5, Mike Juliet, November. But I'm talking on a Yaesu FT950 with your Goldmine GM 5.1. That's going through AL80B amplifier, going about 750 watts. And that doesn't go to a tuner because it's MSWR is good here. Goes out to an inverted V at about 40 feet.
What's the inverted V made from?
It's made from orange extension cords.
That's incredible. I love it.
And I had an old 100-foot extension cord. Well, it wasn't really that old. The wire was good inside. And I just took that and cut it and put it up there and tuned it. And I got about 48 ohms, about a 1-to-1 almost across the whole band of 40 meters.
It worked for him. So I got out my trusty little meter here. Talk about a meter. Oh, buddy, this new MFJ is something special. I got out my trusty meter, and I'm going to follow this little deal. And for his center insulator, he used his wife's cutting board.
Well, of course he did. So,
yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
And so, yeah. And I tell you what I did. I called Joe Walsh and I said, hey, Joe, what do you think about this? And he thought it was great. His advice was, do not plug this into where it's supposed to go.
No, probably not.
Okay. So while you guys kibitz around, I think there's a couple more people that you want to talk to here right at the first. But I am so excited about Jason's antenna, and he just got his extra license yesterday, sends me an email. I get on the air with him, and I couldn't believe it. It was 15 over 9. Okay, there's my story for the day. See funny. What happens when you're for a couple of weeks. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we've got Wyndham antennas and we've got doublets. What do we call that? A home dipole? That's awesome.
A extension cord special.
That's hilarious.
That's soon to be featured on Amateur Logic.
Exactly. Coming soon to a home dipole near you. Speaking of Amateur Logic,
Yeah, speaking of amateur logic, let's go up to Jackson and say hi to George, and then we'll swing out to the West Coast and say hi to Gordon, and then we'll kick this thing off right. What's going on, George? How was field day?
Field day was great, Don. We really had a blast. I don't have all the footage edited yet, but I do have a little snippet for you tonight. You know, I thought it was dangerous when Bob was sitting there with the extension cord around his neck, but then when he pulled out Sarah's cutting board, I'm surprised he survived.
Well, the night's young. Anything could happen. That's hilarious. That's funny. All right. Well, now let's head out to the West Coast and see what Gordon West has up his sleeve. Good night, sir.
Well, thanks, everyone, and happy July. That's right around the corner. Look at this. Before July, CQ, back on schedule, comes out with their great July issue. Congratulations. And this weekend, 4th of July weekend, many of you are going to be, as I am, working parades. And look at this. We tried it out this past weekend at Field Day. This is the new Heil handheld microphone speaker mic setup without any giant cords that just plug into either a Kenwood, Yaesu, Icom, or a select number of the Chinese radios. And the microphone can go either left or right. So if you think that you're going to be doing a parade and you don't want to put up with a little earphone in your ear, get a hold of DX Engineering and tell them to send it out like a red and purple label so you get it in time for the 4th of July parade. But that's what we're going to be using at this end. And then we're going to see everybody on the East Coast at Boxborough. The Boxborough Convention, August 21, 22, and 23. We're going to be visiting those that teach at the Clay Center Amateur Radio Club's Dexter Southfield School. They've got like 40 kids that are now hams and on the air. So, Don, it's going to be a great time. And I'm wearing the Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club shirt because I need a ride to the airport on that Sunday, the 23rd. Anybody going back through through Boston, Gordo needs a ride. All right, Don, back to you before we tell you and everyone about Field Day West Coast.
Yeah, well, I'm sure somebody will haul your carcass around. That shouldn't be a problem. Why don't we just go ahead and get, since you're here with us, why don't you just go ahead and get right into your short shots, and we'll just kick this thing off in fine fashion. Go right ahead, sir.
All right. It is field day, and Brian, if you want to go ahead and do the first short shots, every good field day operator packs up to get ready for field day, and as you can see, we tried to make it happen in the dune buggy. Once we get there, everybody goes, oh, my God, all that aluminum. But you got to have aluminum if you're going to do field day. And hopefully you marked everything ahead of time so you're not having to figure out what's what. And, of course, every good field day has a plot plan. And here was our plot plan. And, Don, this was done just for you and Bob and George. Notice the detail that we have there.
That's beautiful.
Thank you very much. And, of course, we followed our own recommendation. We didn't bring sawhorses like we were supposed to, but there is a patch of grass, only that's the last grass in California that's actually green. So we assembled it on the deck, and that took a lot of scrapes to get out of. These are the telescopic flagpoles, and the one we used this past weekend really worked well. You just go ahead and the articulated mount on the back of the comm van, that's the big 6-meter beam antenna, and it's up and playing, and then you have to hoist up that flagpole. But we got her going with 10 meters in the background and 2 and 440 and wire antennas that you can't see. That next morning, Saturday morning, field day morning, up at crack of dawn, we got our colors flying and we're ready to roll. We were not as large as we were in the years past, but nonetheless, we hit right at 11 o'clock California time. But before, we did some testing, and this is our long path testing. You get the idea. Talk on one end and receive on the other. You got to have a little fun at field day. Well, we started off and we knew immediately we needed an edge. We had the great ICOM 9100 as the main rig. And you put a lady on the mic and they will generally get the first calls back. See the big smile on her face? She can't write fast enough. So field day, we were off and rolling. That's Mike, our chief in charge of Field Day. He's got an older radio, but he, Mike, did you make holy smoly, the first 15, 20 minutes? Look at that. He filled up a page logging it himself. So Field Day was looking good on the West Coast. We had some openings in the South America, so one of our operators had to put on his South America cape and was on the air making calls. And we had brand new hams as well as kids come into the Field Day site. And here we're getting a brand new ham on the air. And a lady, of course, that will get a lot of attention on the air. Then Saturday afternoon, it rained. Now, no rain like you folks had on the East Coast. You got slammed Saturday night and Sunday. We had maybe a sprinkle, but we were ready. So the clouds came and then they went. And our biggest problem was voltage. Well, we had plenty of voltage to start off with all sorts of deep cell batteries and so on. But where we found voltage drops were in the Anderson connectors. Now, I like Andersons as long as they're not having to pull a lot of current, because the Anderson connectors are touchy. If you don't exercise them regularly, they're not going to pass much current, and you have almost an open connection at small amounts of current. And if you really dog them too much, then they get warm. And we felt around and running some of the rigs, they were getting warm. And, oh, look at this. Yep, you lose the pin out of that, or you don't tie wrap it on the backwards way, and misalignment, and you're in trouble here, the rig will go out. Now, if for some reason the black begins to pull its pin back and not make connection, now you've got real problems, because now the current is going to try and return to the source through your antenna or the common ground. Not good. So with Andersons, make sure that you are carefully monitoring them. And, yep, we had 13.6 volts at the source. But once we started transmitting, it went down to like 12 volts and 11 volts. Whatever happened to this connection? I like these connectors because they make things a solid connection and they can handle the current. Where we did find some interesting anomalies were some of the Anderson connector boxes that folks brought along. Some of them were missing, like an open spot there where the connector box Anderson just fell out. Probably not just fell out, but got worked out. And here's a common problem. This box was jiggled and wrestled, and notice that the plastic broke off and one of the Andersons just pulled out. So these boxes are a problem if they're not properly worked and massaged and treated properly. And as for handling 40 or 50 amps, that one box said, I don't think so. More like for 10 amps or less. And something like this, it's going to handle no amps. So double check. Now, this one we like. This was from West Mountain, and they had the little LEDs that would light up in case you popped the fuse. But even some of those, when we had two or three of the HF radios working, began to give us a fairly substantial voltage drop. Because remember, on the inside of these voltage distribution Anderson connector boxes, they use the actual printed circuit board with a layer of conductive coating on it to pass the current. And when we talk about current up to 10 amps, okay. But anything more than that, we began to see some pretty sizable voltage drops. Take a look at this, Don. This one really did well. So I wanted to see why it worked so well. And we pried it open. And, yeah, that's pretty straightforward. And, that works. So I just don't know about the long boxes. Here's another good one that worked out well. We got a Dayton and direct connections, almost no voltage loss there. So if you got the long boxes, make sure that you've got a fuse in addition to the fuses that the boxes supply. And we had one of the boxes here, and we took it out of circuit because it was my great setup, and we were losing we were losing some volts, and the built-in little battery, the lithium iron phosphate battery, did a great job of buffering it. So if you're at the other end of a circuit, get a little buffer battery. Well, that's a pretty big one. But look at the size of those leads. And if you're going ahead and power something real small, you can get by with 12 gauge. But if you're going to be powering an ICOM HF radio, you better have a buffer battery right next to the radio or a 1 farad capacitor that you get at the local audio store. And the Mobile Electronics 1 farad cap will really keep that voltage fairly smooth. So the new case worked out well, and the buffer battery worked out swell. But the best part of field day, of course, is in the evening when we have the weenie roast and we have the good smellers on the Barbie, and everybody chows down. And, of course, after dinner, when we're still working, Coach brought the wash tub. And look at this. So we had a great little fire going out of an old wash tub. Wife probably won't miss it. So we had a rather small field day, but a happy field day out here on the West Coast. So field day is fun, but we found that swedged connectors sometimes would give us a voltage drop if they weren't properly swedged on the Andersons. And again, this is the thing to look for, is what's going on the inside. Look at this. Look at this wire right here that goes through a switch. That's not going to really handle a lot of current if you're rolling an HF radio. So, yeah, I like Andersons, but after this past field day, I don't like them for any more than about 10 amps of current max, or I really need to make sure that we've got plenty of large wire feeding those Andersons. All right, now, Russell up in the Washington area, Debbie and Russell sent us these great short shots, and we'll just roll them. And they went to the Tacoma Field Day, and that radio club has their own clubhouse. Wow, I love that. And they say, stop by the clubhouse and have a donut. Look what they did for their field day site. They actually had them all laid out. So those that came to visit it, they had a complete tour. And here's the satellite station. Yeah, that's a great one. And, of course, every good ham has a buddy that has a car that looks like that. There's our satellite operator. That's Bob doing a great job. And look how they separated all of their stations. While it didn't give you that sort of everybody around the table operating, each individual station had its own area, so you wouldn't have to hear their generator or your yakking on the air. Nice military mast. Oh, that's a great setup that they have there. And, of course, the boom mic and all the amenities. And look at that. They got the power supply right below them. Look at that dipole. Is that nice? Yep, that's a goodie. Maybe made out of a Home Depot extension cord, but there you go. And that's ham radio field day operation. Now, look at this. This is great. How many do we have that had someone pedaling a bicycle to generate that current? Yeah, a little faster. We need a little bit more voltage. I'm pedaling as fast as I can. I do like that purple shirt. And here's another operator. He's got a nice chair set up, a grass mat that he's sitting on, foot switches. That's our CW guy doing well. And talk about pressure. Look at this. So now the other operator gets on the bicycle, and look what's coming up somewhere. There's a voltmeter. Oh, yeah, here it is. Yeah, look at the pressure. Always monitoring your own voltage as you pedal and pedal for the emergency contact points for human-powered voltage. And, of course, pretty ladies on the air always help out. Electronic logging is always good. So that was the field day from that terrific station. So field day is fun. Russell and Debbie and the cat, thanks for sending those photos on down. And we've got more photos, but we'll show them over the next few weeks. I won't be here next week. I'll be doing another radio get-together, but I'll see everybody in 2 weeks. Okay, Don, or no, it's back to Bob, I think, this time. Bob, back to you.
I got a note from Dennis in the chat room, wanted to know what we're using for mixers. All of us here on Ham Nation are using the Elises. And this is a wonderful mixer, Multimix 8. It has USB out. So we just plug that USB right into the computer. Don't need to do anything. And away we go. I love it. It works great. And you might want to check it out. It's very high quality. We're very fortunate. BSW provides those for here on Ham Nation. And We'll be back next week. We had a lot to do here in the beginning. I'll have some more field day for you next week. But we wanted to bring you that great piece from our Newham Jason with his wonderful antenna. It just sounded so good. Well, we'll go see what ICOM's got going here as we move on down the show. And you never know what comes from ICOM, but you know it's going to be good.
ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to offer ham radio operators some incredible savings. Get a great deal on a D-Star repeater direct from ICOM and help expand D-Star across North America. With the release of the ID51A Plus and ID5100A, more people are getting on the air with D-Star. For a limited time, ICOM is offering a bi-direct D-Star promotion for U.S. and Canadian residents only. Purchase a D-Star repeater through the D-Star Infrastructure Program. Visit ICOM America's website, view current amateur promotions, and buy direct. This promotion is good for a limited time only. Review complete instructions online and call or email in your order today. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's Buy Direct program. And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/Ham Nation. Throw your name in the hat for a chance at some great swag prizes like T-shirts or hats. And also learn how you can win the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. For June, the grand prize has been awarded. It was the IC2730A Practical Analog Dual Band Dual Watch Mobile. The winner, Doug, KA0MHJ. So congratulations, Doug. ICOM will be getting that to you right away. And for July, we've got another great grand prize. That's going to be the ID31A Compact 5-Watt UHF Handy Talkie with submersible construction, analog and D-Star operation, built-in GPS, micro SD card slot, and a lot more. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation for the official rules and sign up. Good luck. And don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And we're talking about Field Day this week. Well, I got a lot of footage from Field Day, and Tommy and Wayne and I went off the grid way out in the country again. Really great time. I haven't got all the footage edited yet. We're still kind of assembling all that together. And I'll let you know when and where you can watch that. But I do have a short but sweet clip for you this week on the main radio that I use for Field Day. I'm running my favorite mobile rig here. It's my IC7000. I pulled it out of the truck just so I could use it today. I really love the unit, you know, and I built that keyer for it last year so that I can do voice keying with it. I keep my rig set up the way that I would like to run it mobile, but for operations like Field Day, there's some things I would like to change. One of them is the monitor. I go into my quick set menu and others, and I've got the choice for monitor right there. I'll put that on. What that does is allows me to hear myself coming through the headsets when I transmit. It's kind of disconcerting to be listening to all the stations on the air and then your headphones go dead when you transmit yourself. So turn on your monitor. That's one thing you'll definitely want to do if you're using headphones. I like to keep the compressor turned off on this rig when it's in the mobile because otherwise it's just picking up excess noise when I transmit. But for Field Day, when I'm trying to break some polyps, I might want to turn on the compressor by going into the menus and selecting COM right here. Then it's on. So now when I transmit, I'll see that the compressor is operating on the scale here at the bottom. Another option that can be handy is the voice keyer. I'll go into my menu here and I go into voice TX. Now I've got menu choices that I can hit here that I've got pre-programmed for messages I'll need during field day, so I can save my voice.
November 5, Zulu, November Oscar.
No matter what make or model of transceiver you're using, there is a chance that you might want to do a little tweaking on it before the next contest. So that's mainly what I used was my IC7000. It really worked out great. And, you know, just making a few little tweaks like that can really tailor your rig for the particular conditions you're operating under. You know, for field day, well, I used headphones. I normally don't use them, so I can't have the monitor turned on, or else every time I keyed the mic, you'd hear feedback coming through the speaker. But if you're going to use headphones, turn on your monitor. Also, the compressor. You know, if you're riding down the road, you got the window rolled down, you key up the mic, they're going to hear more wind noise than they're going to hear you. So I try to stay away from the compressor as much as possible. But, you know, good for that maybe a little bit of extra kick during field day. Tommy used an IC7100, which is, I guess, a predecessor to the 7000. He really had good luck with it. You know, that's that new touchscreen rig. And he mostly worked 15 meters with that. And it's very similar to the 7000. You know, some of the things I had set on my 7000, we went over and looked at his rig and found the same settings there. Wayne ran a Yaesu Mobile and had good luck with it as well. We ran off generator power, as we generally do, and we even had a few extra conveniences this year that I'm not going to talk about yet. We'll we'll get to them in the future, but let me say, you know, the title was going to be Field Day 3 Hotter Than Hell, but it didn't turn out that way here at all. Good weather and, well, good conveniences, I guess, at the site this year. So, great time at field day. I hope all the rest of you had a good time. And for us, you know, it was really more about setting up and getting ready and just having a big time than it was actually sitting down and trying to make a maximum number of contacts. We, you know, probably had as many contacts as we've had in recent years, but we weren't pushing it. You know, we were just there to see that we could get all our gear assembled and set up and that it all worked, and just to have a good time. And we certainly succeeded at that. Well, you know, last week I asked a question, what year was the first field day held? And I think I probably actually asked that before. And the year, according to Sean Crawford, WA8MXJ, was 1933. And congratulations, Sean. We're going to send you this Heil. And I don't remember the name of this, Bob. What is it? It's the LB-1R lighted microphone base. Lighted microphone. Really nice, heavy-duty microphone stand there. Put it right on your desk. Screw your mic on. You're set to go. And you've got that lighted LED display in the bottom of it, too, along with the push-to-talk button. So congratulations, Sean. We're going to get that out to you. Another interesting point. You know, I mentioned it, and it wasn't really part of the question, but I said we'd talk about it. The original purpose of field day was not really to get out and have a contest. According to F.E. Handy, W1BDI, it was published in QST. What he said, the real object is to test portables wherever they may be available. And I guess in 1933, there probably were not a lot of portables available. So he really started a great tradition then, because I know all of us really enjoy field day every year that we can get out and operate it. Well, for next week, I've got another question. And this question, for field day this year, my group operated as Class 3A or 3 Alpha. What does 3A mean? If you know the answer to that, then send your answer to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could win this MFJ 1811 telescopic scanner / receiver antenna with a BNC connector on the end of it. You could also use this on your handy talkie for VHF or UHF, get a little bit of extra oomph over what you would get with a rubber duck. hamnationcontest@gmail.com. Tell me what 3 Alpha means. And now let's bring Don in here and see what's been going on as far as getting Newsline back in order?
Well, we're well on our way. As a matter of fact, we've been talking about getting it back up for the month of July, and we're going to do that. Not this week, 4th of July and everything. We decided we're gonna shoot for next week, and hopefully we'll have Newsline back up and running. Bill Pasternak, of course, is irreplaceable, but we have found someone who has writing and editing skills, who has worked for magazines and for news organizations before, and she does excellent work. She contacted us and said, hey, I'm really interested in doing this. She's a ham. She's a new ham, as a matter of fact. Been licensed a year or two. And she's over in New York. So we've been talking to her. And we're in the process of putting a newscast together right now, as a matter of fact. Trying some new things. It's going to be Newsline 2.0. We're going to revamp things a little bit. It's going to be a slightly shorter format. We're going to go to two segments instead of three. So instead of the normal 25, 24-minute newscast, we're going to try to stay 15 to 18. You know, we try to do the segments to be 9 minutes because, of course, you know, they're played on repeaters or HF stations, and you have to ID every 10 minutes. So we stay within that, take one break, and then do the second segment and be done, and try to have more of a digest form and point you to links on the website as those are applicable, and just try to revamp it a little bit and see if we can improve on the almost 40 years of heritage that Bill Pasternak has set down for us. And it's a tall order, but we're gonna do our best. So hopefully we'll have another Newsline headline video for you next week. We do not have solar weather this week. Tamitha Scove has got a bunch of things going on in her life, and she just did not have time to put one together for us. But we will hopefully have her back again next week. Now, George, I want to talk a little bit about field day. Did you guys make any 6-meter contacts? Because I want to tell you, 6 meters was kicking here. This was my first time running field day here at home as a 1 delta. How many contacts did you guys make, George, over there with your 3 alpha?
I don't remember the exact number of contacts. I know our total score at the end of the event was 574. That was with the multipliers for emergency power and all such as that. But we did. I looked at the logs, and I know we got only 2 6-meter contacts, but that's 2 more than we've ever gotten before. 6 meters was open. We were hearing some activity there. The antenna I was using was a 40-meter off-center-fed dipole, which would work on 6. Not optimal for it, but, yeah, I made a couple of contacts there on 6. Probably could have done a little better. We made some on 10 meters as well. I mostly concentrated on 40 and 20, though, and Tommy mostly did 15, and Wayne operated 80 and 40. But, you know, we separated our antennas well enough that we didn't really have any problem with anybody bleeding into anyone else, which is, you know, can be a problem at field day. Yeah. And we also made sure that we were not on the same bands at the same time, but I don't guess you had that problem.
No, I didn't, just working by myself. And it's funny because I had no idea how to even approach doing field day here by myself as a 1 delta, because I was just a casual operator. I've always done it, you know, with the club as a 2 alpha or 3 alpha or whatever, like you guys. And it's always been a 24-hour deal. Well, you know, I got up and I started right at 1 o'clock central. And worked for a while, and my wife said, Dawn said, hey, I'm running to Walmart. And I said, well, I'll run to Walmart. I need some things anyway. I got to change your oil. So took a break, went to Walmart, came back and operated until, I don't know, about 9 o'clock at night, I guess. Went and watched some TV, went to bed, got up the next morning. About 6 o'clock, I hit it for a while, took another break after about 8 or 8:30, went out and changed her oil, and then came back and ran until it was over. And I managed by myself to do 411 contacts. Which, wow. I was flabbergasted. I mean, as the bands, I heard Katie Allen, WY7YL, say earlier tonight on the net and also in the 100 Watts and a Wire podcast, which is up now, by the way. And congratulations to Christian, K0STH. He has he went from 400 members of the Facebook page to 500 in 24 hours. Wow. Just amazing. And they had their net tonight on 20 meters. But Katie said that the bands were just horrible. They weren't bad here, I guess, in South Mississippi. Oh. They were better than they were in Wyoming. But I managed to do, I was a few on 80, mostly 20 and 40, a few on 10, but I did probably close to 100, maybe a little more on 6. And it's the most 6 meter contacts I've made ever as a ham. So I couldn't complain one iota. I think what I may do next year, if I do this by myself, is I may just try to operate as a one alpha and hook my generator up to the radio so I can operate as a one alpha. But I had a great time for field. At the end of the day, I looked at the log and I went, "Are you kidding me? I did 400 contacts by myself." So I couldn't complain. We'll hear more about field day from everybody else a little bit later on tonight. But first, let's get into one of our sponsors, and that, of course, is someone. My wife loves this company, not only for what it does for me, but for what it does for her, because, well, her man is a Harry's man, and my lady is a Harry's lady. She's got her own Harry's shaver, and she loves it, absolutely loves it. And this episode of Ham Nation brought to you by Harry's. Harry's is fixing a problem that a lot of us have, and that is, well, it's so doggone expensive to buy razors. They're overpriced. You know, shaving isn't fun. Sometimes you cut yourself, you scrape yourself. Dull blades are the worst, and they're expensive. They run about $4 a blade. And if you shave every day, you could spend hundreds of dollars a year just on razors, the big name brand razors that they, you know, put under lock and key because they don't want you stealing them because they are so expensive. Well, you don't have that problem with Harry's. You go to the store to buy them again. You know, I mean, they're locked up. It's like, do you have a prescription for that blade, sir? Do I what? Well, here's a company that's fixing all that. It's Harry's. High quality razors, about half the price of the big brand blades, and they're just as good or better because Harry's makes their own blades in their own factory in Germany. They're engineered for sharpness and high performance, and they are shipped free. Look at that. Look at it. Spit those blades out. Look at that thing. That is Germany. That is German steel. That is the best steel in the world. That is really good stuff. And, of course, they are shipped to you for free. And because Harry's makes their own blades and ship their own blades, it's a very efficient company, which means you get factory direct pricing, and that saves you money. In each kit, you get a razor with a handle that looks and feels great, razor blades, three of those, and foaming shave gel. You got to go check this out. The starter Truman set is a great deal, and you get it all for just $15. I've been using Harry's for a good while now. I love it, and it's so cool because it's something that it's almost like pampering myself. It's something nice that I do for myself. It's a nice, clean, close, comfortable shave. I love the look of the set. I love the feel of the set. I love the price, and I love what it does to my face. Makes my face, well, my wife, she likes to touch my face when I have my Harry's shave. And it costs about half as much as the razors at the store. And the aftershave moisturizer protects and hydrates, and it's really nice. You need to do something nice for yourself. Go to harrys.com. You get $5 off your first purchase when you put Ham Nation in as the code. That's HARRYS.com. Enter code Ham Nation at checkout. And Harry's, thank you so much for everything you do for Ham Nation, and thank you for what you do for me and what you do for my wife. And I'm telling you, she loves it, dude. I'm telling you, if you're not a Harry's man, you are. You're missing out. You're missing out. Okay, now we mentioned Christian, K0STH, a little bit earlier. And we've got a little video package that was recorded in Dayton on the Thursday before the Ham Fest. And Christian did all this, and it's really good. So let's go ahead and roll this beautiful bean footage.
Over 200 students attended the 2015 Contest University at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Dayton, Ohio. Some of the best contesters on the planet took in 23 presentations in hopes of gaining a slight edge over the competition. Contest University also welcomed a couple of future stars from Bloomington High School South. This is Ryan Cutshall and Thomas Getz. These students represent the contest operators at the Bloomington High School South Amateur Radio Club, a talented team of young amateurs that would place third worldwide in the high school division of the school club roundup in February.
We've reached a point with school club roundup that we're ready to go on to the next level. And we've reached a point where we think we need to learn just those things that will take us just a little bit higher in our scores. because we've kind of maxed out what we're doing. And so our goal here is to try to step that up a little bit, and then we hope to participate in CQ Worldwide next year.
These students are used to making hundreds of unique contacts, scoring thousands of points, and logging for dozens of hours. But Contest University was designed to open new doors in the way that we approach contesting.
This is my first HamFest in general, and the first one is Dayton, which is the biggest, which is an honor. And the ability to come to this Contest University, thank you to the North California DX Foundation. They granted this scholarship for my club to join this wonderful event that they have here. Contest University is amazing in what it can teach you when it comes to contesting. Every school that is serious about contesting should be here. It's a great opportunity, and this is the big leagues. That's what me and my sponsor have been saying all day, is we're here, we're in the big leagues now. And every school should have the opportunity to be here to advance not just contesting, but ham radio and youth, because that's a huge thing that we need right now is youth.
CTU reminds operators of fair play and ethics, upgrades in antennas, CW and RIDI, better audio, and ways to improve your scores. Contest University Chairman Tim Duffy.
I think it's vital and it's very important, especially handing it off the right way and teaching good operating skills so that we can be proud of contesters and contest operating on the air. Everything that I learned in contesting, I learned from somebody else.
Although the guys tended to stay in the back of the class, veteran operators were tuned in to their presence.
Well, it was great to see these young kids here from the Bloomington High School. It's very exciting because I know we can get a lot more kids in this hobby. They do have that competitive spirit. I mean, you see this with the Xbox and all the video games that they do. So I think a lot of us need to mentor and reach out to these kids to try and get them into this hobby, because it can only add to it. I mean, looking around these rooms, it looks like the average age is about 60. I know on Jerry's last day expedition, the average age was 64. So it's really important that we get out there and try and mentor these kids and get them as excited about this hobby as we all were when we first started in it.
This was the 27th Worldwide Contest University. It was the 9th held in Dayton. For many, Contest University serves as a forum to share ideas and to become better amateur radio operators. For this professor, passing on the teaching of this hobby and service is a way of life.
Well, it's very important, because when I was 15 years old, I got very involved in ham radio because of one of my high school chums. And the situation there is, it turned out to be practically my college education. I learned how to build things and all of the many things that happen with amateur radio. It's not just talking one-on-one. That's the final part of it. But it's learning all of the technology and the science of amateur radio. And for me, it was just a great big education. And it continues even today. I learn things every day. So it's very important that these young kids take a look, because this is a real avenue of technology that can lead them to all kinds of careers.
From Contest University 2015 in Dayton, Ohio, I'm Christian, K0STH for Ham Nation.
Man, I cannot talk enough about that school, Bloomington South in Bloomington, Indiana, and the teacher, Neil Rapp. Neil Rapp has an interesting history himself. He was, at one point, the youngest licensed amateur radio operator in the country. I think he was 5 at the time. I want to say something like that. And also, the most recent Young Ham of the Year from Amateur Radio Newsline is Patrick Lesandru, and his call sign escapes me. I didn't know that package was going to be on that school, or I would have had this call sign. But Patrick Lesandru is the most recent Young Ham of the Year, and I've worked his sister's, one of his sisters anyway, in that station, that school, from the school roundup. And it's amazing the things that Neil Rapp is doing with those kids in that school is nothing short of amazing. And I'm just proud as I can be to call those guys my friends. So that's very cool. And hopefully we'll see Neil and the LeSondres again. The LeSondres went to Dayton as a family, and it is great to run into them. So just a great family. And great kids and a great school and an amazing teacher. So they are certainly deserving of every nice thing that comes their way. So that's good. I wanted to get that out. All right, we're gonna get into Amanda in the chat room here in just a sec. But you know, we want to talk about DX Engineering. Today is July 1. You know what that means? Well, besides my dearly departed mother's birthday, happy birthday, Mom. I love you and I miss you desperately. It's been 20 years now. But here's the thing about July 1st, besides being my mom's birthday. The FCC has officially updated the general class license exam question pool. So if you're studying for your general upgrade, don't worry about it. Forget about it. DX Engineering has the brand new license and instruction manuals right now available today. The day they come out that reflect the updated FCC general class question pool. The ARRL, of course, still the go-to source for reference material, including the new 8th edition general class manual. If you studied for your tech with an ARRL license manual, you'll be familiar with the format. It'll arm you with exactly what you need to pass the exam and to get your ticket. Clear, concise lessons and a great appendix that contains the full FCC general class license exam question pool. And remember, the pool was just updated today. So make sure you get the most current version. It also comes with a handy CD-ROM, and you can take practice tests with randomly generated questions from the entire question pool. And DX Engineering also carries books and study manuals from Gordon and the W5YI group. Those books present sometimes complex technical principles with straightforward and easy-to-understand terms and no confusing tech speak or jargon. That's one of the things about, you know, just getting into this. It's like flying an airplane. There's a lot of technical stuff that you need to know to understand what you're talking about. Well, Gordon West takes that and distills it down into stuff that anybody can, I mean, hell, if I can understand it, anybody can. Go to dxengineering.com, see the tech, general, and extra class options from Gordon and from the ARRL. You can choose from standalone books, complete study guides with the audio CDs and software packages, and they're all designed to help you ace your exam and become a ham. Poetry skills notwithstanding. Ham Radio School also offers comprehensive study guides as well. They're authored by Stu Turner, W0STU. He's a professional instructor and a former engineering professor with the U.S. Air Force Academy. So, you know, he's got brains. He regularly teaches at his local radio club where his students boast a 90% pass rate, and you can do that too. The books will help you pass the test, plus help you get the most out of your new HF band privileges. Remember, today is the day. The FCC has changed the general class license exam question pool. Make sure you have the most up-to-date license manuals right now by shopping DX Engineering. And DX Engineering, of course, you know this, they ship faster than anybody else in the industry. You get your order in by 10 o'clock tonight, Eastern time, and if it's in stock, they'll put it on a truck and it'll be headed your way tonight. Not tomorrow, not 4 or 5 days. No, tonight. Proven products, expert advice, the best people, the most knowledgeable people, Tim Duffy, Terry Greiser, all the folks at DX Engineering, they help you shrink the globe. Request a catalog, shop online 24/7. At dxengineering.com/hamnation. I worked Terry for field day. That was cool. Hi, Terry. She's watching. I like Terry. We think, you know what I like? See, Terry and I, we have something in common that I didn't know until I met her at Dayton. We're both adopted, which is, you know, that's cool. That's an exclusive club. So Terry's my buddy. DX Engineering, thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation. We love you and we appreciate you. And now let's see what's happening with another of the fabulous YLs. Look at you.
Hello.
How you doing? How you doing, darling?
Hey, I'm doing great. Hey, happy 4th of July, everybody.
Yes.
Don't be blown off your hands or anything like that, okay? You know, Colorado, we don't have fireworks, so they don't exist here because of fires and everything.
I'm in Mississippi. We blow everything up.
We like to blow some stuff up. Okay, I've heard that before. And it usually starts with hold this.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Yeah. I'm already worried.
It should be.
Nice. That's very nice. Hey, you guys, I had a wonderful field day, by the way. We didn't work a lot, but I like to socialize. So we had a lot of elected officials out there and just a lot of visitors. I did get a couple kiddos on the GOTA station, which was pretty cool. First time we've ever done that as a club. So, and thanks to everyone that worked us this weekend. Appreciate that too. That was fun. Let me get to some questions here. Oh, wait, no, I have one announcement. Don't forget, since I'm talking about the 4th of July, the 13 colonies are on right now with their special events. So it's anything from, I think it's kilo, oh boy, I'm going to screw this up. Kilo 1 Alpha to Kilo 1 Mike. Anyhow, get out there and work them. They're on all bands, CW, and voice. So have fun doing that. And you guys can apply for your special certificates and QSL cards. Okay, let's move on now. First question I have is for George. And hello, George. Someone says, and I'm sorry, Tristan, KC3DHZ says he's trying to decide between an IC7200 and an IC7410. Should he save up more for the 7410 to get the roofing filters and better receiver? What do you think? We know you're the ICOM expert.
Well, hi, Amanda.
Hi.
Good to see you. You know, that's a good question. If you can't wait, go ahead and get the 7200. It's going to be a great rig. If you plan on operating portable, moving around a lot, it's real heavily constructed. Great for that type of operation. Also good as a base station. But the 7410, I've had one here before in the shack and played with it some. It sounds a lot more like the more expensive ICOM rigs, like some of the flagship rigs. It's very similar sound and operation there. I think if you can put it off and wait just a little bit, you'd appreciate the difference between the two. But if you're ready to go now, go with the 7200. You'll be happy with it too.
Very good. And after using a rig that doesn't have kind of filters and one that does, of course, low end to high end, I would say go for the high end, definitely. You won't regret it, that's for sure. And have fun whichever you purchase, and have fun on the HF bands there for sure. Okay, Bob, nice to have you back, by the way. It sounds like you had a fun field day. I have a boat anchor question for you, and I do think that you are expert boat anchor. Is that correct?
I don't know. Expert floating, you and Jeff, though, and
okay. Okay, so the question here is, and maybe you're not even familiar with it, we'll just see if you are. Yaesu FTDX400, quote unquote, boat anchor. He says, he's only a technician, and right now it runs 200 watts. Is there a way to turn down the power so that he can, use it wherever he wants to? Just, he'd like to lower the power. Is that possible?
And what is the boat anchor? What's the model, did he say?
An FTDX400. Fox Tango Delta X-Ray 400.
Well, I don't know why you'd want to turn the power down. I don't know.
That's a good question. Well, maybe it's during, gonna field be day, pretty, during field
gonna
day.
During field day.
It would be rough?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So then, Tyler, it doesn't look promising to turn down your power, but hey, I think you should take advantage of the 200 watts for sure and have fun on 10 meters there. He says he's a technician and looking forward to getting on the bands. You guys, other than that, happy Canadian Day and happy 4th of July. That's all I've got for tonight. I'll send it back to you, Bob.
Hey, Amanda, I want to congratulate you for your flag behind you. That's very nice.
Ah, thank you.
I had a luncheon yesterday with one of my great friends. He's 93, and he was a paratrooper that jumped on Ormondy Beach. he got very blown up over there. He was in a hospital for 6 months, but he's doing great now, and he's a tremendous patriot. Don't talk to him about desecrating the flag or this country. He'll come at you. But thanks very much for putting that flag up, and happy 4th to everybody.
Well, thank you. And I, by the way, we have a porch and a balcony, and they're covered in these buntings. And I decided to take one off to put it back here for the show. So, of course, we're very patriotic here. Jeff, being a firefighter, he bands with his brothers, and everything is patriotic around here. So, hey, you guys have a fun weekend.
Yeah, we have a whole bunch of bunting on the property here out front. I put it up the other day. So, Don, are we all clear? Everything going good here? We got time to close this thing out?
I think so. Let's talk about the Nets, because somebody asked me, sent me an email earlier wondering where the Nets were. And I did not have those frequencies off the top of my head. So I told that person, I said, well, just watch tonight and we will mention those. So the 20 and 40 meter Nets, what are the frequencies? George, you probably have this on the top of your whatever it is that you have on the top of.
Well, on the top of my monitor over here, I've got the 20 meter frequency. It's 14.283. The 40 meter frequency I have not seen, but typically it's around 7.278, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Go up or down 10, and you should be able to find it. Of course, ************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************************
I do, as a matter of fact. It's on 14 Charlie. And now earlier tonight, the 100 watts and a wire net was on 20 meters, and they float around. So check out 100wattsandawire.com or the 100 watts and a wire Facebook page. Christian K0STH just kicked off the podcast. I listened to the first two episodes of it driving to and from work today. And I got to tell you something. I'm not a podcast guy. I'm a radio guy. You know, I'm a broadcast guy. I've never gotten into podcasts, but this is one that I'm going to be listening to every week. It's so well done. Christian is a broadcast pro. He's got Katie Allen on there. I mean, how can you go wrong when you got WY7YL? And it's just the best. So go check out the 100 watts in a wire. You're gonna absolutely love it. So anyway, so that's where your nets are tonight. So
one more net, John.
Yes,
Don. We almost forgot about Cheryl. 3847.
Oh, that's right. Yep. That's right, 3847. And let's not forget to throw a little love over to Dan Van Evenhoven, who does the Ham Nation Wiki. Puts a lot of work into that. If you ever wanted to know anything about what we've had on any previous shows from number one up until this one, you can find it on the Ham Nation Wiki. That's a labor of love. He puts a lot of time and effort into that. And we appreciate it, Dan. We appreciate you and everything you do for us. So. Anyway, field day, I think we all survived. We all had fun. I got to talk to a lot of Ham Nation fans on field day, and you know, it was great. It's a wonderful thing. You know, I'm not a big time contester, but I got on and I had a great time. This is a great way to get your feet wet in contesting, and maybe, like me, maybe decide you might want to try your hand at a little bit more contesting. I think that's something I may want to do. So I may have to go to one of Tim Duffy's contest universities here pretty soon. So, all right, let's wrap this thing up because we've just about run out of time. But let's go on around the horn one more time. George, any further comments before we get out of here?
Well, just a great field day, and I hope everyone else had as much fun as we did this year. And I did want to ask you one question, Don. Mm-hmm. Do you think that new rig might have contributed at all to your field day enjoyment?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The 7600. Oh, my God. Yeah. The receiver, the DSP. Oh, my God. I mean, I could this is the best receiver I have ever used. And I know for a fact I wouldn't have gotten 400 contacts. I would have lost patience with the old radio. Mm-hmm. I had a Kenwood 2000. It's a great radio. But it was a radio that I never loved. I liked it, but I never loved it. I was always an ICOM guy anyway. I had a 746 before Katrina took it and loved that radio. And I'm so happy to have an ICOM back in the shack. And the DSP, just the filtering, just I was able to tailor it exactly the way I wanted. And you're right about using headphones and the monitor. And also using the voice recorder, I just sat back and I was like, okay, let's see, T1, Seeky Field A, Seeky Field A, AE5W Field A. I'd press that for a while, and then I'd go, I'll go to T2. AE5W Field A, and then someone would call me, and I'd just reach up, and I'd pull the microphone to me with the Vox on, and I would go, station calling? Yes? No, it was great, and I could hear everybody, and it was just, I love it. So, yeah, thanks ICOM for making great radios. It was awesome. So, yeah, love it. Amanda, any final thoughts from you tonight before we scoot?
I do. I have two, actually. Terry, 500 contacts, really? You're putting us to shame. I think that's all we got on our phone the whole time was we got almost 500. But good job, Terry. Second thing, do not use a one call in Colorado land. At the end, people couldn't, the QSB was so rapid. They're like, so I hear a Charlie in there and your one call is at Connecticut. I finally was starting to yell things like, Rocky Mountains. So don't do it, you guys. Next time we're going with a zero call in Colorado.
There you go. All right. Dr. Bob, we're so glad to have you back. Are you going to be around for a while longer?
I don't know. I have a couple of big tours out there. I'm not sure. I should be here next week, but beyond that, I don't know. I never know. I'm the doctor. I get this call in the middle of the night. We have something broken, so I have to go.
That's right.
Mostly, I Dr. think I'm blue.
Making microphone house calls left and right.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, all right. Why don't you wrap it up and put a bow on it, and we'll all wave goodbye while Bob wraps it up for us. So, from Mississippi, later for you.
All right, everybody. Thanks for being here. It was a lot of fun. And who knows what will happen. I'm going to go see if I can get this antenna to work. Let me tell you. I definitely got to take Sarah's cutting board back to her. We'll see you all later. Have fun. Catch you afterwards on some of the nets. Bye-bye for now. This is K9 EID, and it's all about ham radio.